Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Reading from Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause also ye pay ye tribute, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. For he that hath loved another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore love is the fulfilling of the law, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Here we have the chapter we have to be subject to, but we also have the answer, the last verse. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Many times we have directions, but don't always have the right answer to know how they can be fulfilled. We have the perfect answer here. As the song said, the light of the world is Jesus. Let's give thanks that God has given that light, given His Son to be a light, Jesus, because He shall save His people from their sins. Let's pray in His name. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come in His name. Thou, Lord Jesus, hast given many promises that if we come in His name, Thou wilt hear us and the Father will hear us. And we pray that because of Thee, who Thou art, what Thou hast done, that Thou wouldst send Thy Spirit to us to teach us to come to Thee rightly, even now in prayer, to come in humbleness to know our need, to know our helplessness without Thee. As Thou hast said, without me you can do nothing, and help us to know it's true. We also know that Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And we pray that Thou wilt strengthen the church, that Thou wilt revive it, that Thou wilt also strengthen the home. And through the church and the home, we know that then the nation would also be strengthened. And we pray that that might take place when we have such a very serious falling away of the church, the home, and the nation. We are, as it were, going toward a cliff, falling to destruction. If our nation continues this way, and our homes are a great part of the problem, if not the most important problem. Help us to see it. Help us to see also that the church is not a salt and a light. Help us to repent. Open our eyes. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. And it's high time to wake out of sleep. If it was true for that church, it certainly is true for us today. And we pray that we might have another great awakening by both Thy Word and Spirit, that we might have what Edwards described as, Thou dost begin extraordinarily to work amongst them with Thy Spirit. We know that one by one, the young people were both turned from their wicked ways, but saved also. And we pray for that today. When we hear of the young people leaving the church and the many troubled young people in the broken homes, we pray that Thou wilt work in their hearts, especially to lead them to Thy Word, and then they have then a light on their path. We pray for the many other needs that there are. We pray for those suffering in Ukraine, Afghanistan, Africa, those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake in many other countries. We pray for those that are homeless, hungry, all the suffering that is there in the world. We give thanks that we are so blessed in this area and nature, also with peace and freedom. We pray that we may not revert further in our nation to the way of rioting and foolishness, especially in the light of the change of Roe versus Wade, that is not allowed to continue to murder the unborn. We pray that the nation might submit to that, and that more and more might be thankful for that, that there is not a lie to call wrong right, and to have a right to murder the unborn for mothers, for fathers, for doctors, for nurses. We pray that we might see the awfulness of it has taken place and probably still is taking place when many want to rebel and do not want to submit to the new law. We pray, Father, for thy leading, especially again in the church, that it will be a salt and a light to lead the way. We pray that thou would guide us now in this word to understand it, that we might be able to apply it to ourselves individually, and then we might be able to exhort one another to learn from it and help each other to be in submission to the leadership, even if it is not a good leadership. We know that leadership in the countries has sometimes persecuted the church and made it very hard to submit. Help us to be wise in that and to be childlike to learn from thee through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we read this second chapter on exhortation of what those who have experienced God's mercy are to do. The first was in the 12th chapter, after giving some more prophecy of the future. In chapter 11, he calls the church at Rome to present their bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is their reasonable service. It's because God has shown them mercy, he's gathered them into a church, he's made them part of the body of Christ. He brought them to the place, as we can read earlier in this epistle, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These people had experienced that. We don't know exactly the beginning of the church like we do of some, but we know it took place, and Paul described it in the first chapter especially. He said their faith was spoken of throughout the whole world, and now they had to do what Paul also wrote to the church at Philippi, when he said, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He also had exhorted them in the 6th chapter not to continue in sin. He says, know ye not that as many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. We have a new salvation, and we ought to have a new life to show before God and before our fellow men. Here we have how we are to do that in this 13th chapter. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Not all governments have been good. Some governments have been very much persecuting governments. We even see that amongst the Jews. The leaders there persecuted. They killed Christ, and they persecuted his followers. Paul, who was author of this letter to the church at Rome, was one of them for a time, until the Lord Jesus stopped him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And then he became one to preach the gospel of Christ, and say he was not ashamed of it. He knew it was the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, as we can read in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He is exhorting. He knows about government. He knows about the Jewish government, that after he was one with Christ, they wanted to kill him. He also knows that the Romans have jurisdiction over a great part of the world at that time. When the Jews wanted to kill him, he said, I appeal to Caesar. We know that he was taken to Rome and was in the household of Caesar. Must have been true to all government leaders. He was true to Felix, to Festus, to Agrippa. He could also write some of the household of Caesar greeted the church. So he must have been a witness, gained believers among the household of Caesar while he was there in Rome. So he knows about government, the pros and the cons. He says, all this is of God, and it's not, first of all, what Paul thinks, but of what God inspired him to write, describing it as it is, and as we must see it. The second verse, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. We have had much resistance in our country, much division, very, very much one against another. We have had those who wanted to continue in the way of our forefathers in our country. It's called conservatism, and there are those who want to go in another direction, change our country in many different ways, are in other countries very troublesome and very much worse than our country is at the present time. We should see that. When our past president was there and they did not want to submit to him, I thought different times what would happen to those people, especially when they would die. When we read, whosoever therefore resists the power, resists of God, and then what would happen to them? They that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. How many died, found damnation, because they had resisted the government, and they, in turn they had resisted God. If they had been obedient to God before the present government or the past government, they would have submitted. But they were not submissive either way and received damnation. They will receive it from God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Many who have done very wrong things in our country, an accusation, especially our past president, told lies about him, and many, many things that were wrong, which was treason to our country. And now they are being talked about, they're being exposed, but they're not being punished. It seems like the wrong want to punish the right, but the right does not have what is needed to punish the wrong. Sadly, we don't have enough right people in our government at the present time to punish wrong. So we have to have much patience that God will change it if it could be His will. We know also that He may not change it. He may give us over, Father, to a reprobate mind. We see that in the time of Jeremiah with Judah. There were wicked kings and did terrible things, brought about the judgment of God on the nation. Manasseh was one of them. We read he filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, and because of it, God could not pardon that nation. They went into captivity. Many died in many terrible ways. Judgment was there. We are already under God's judgment by our own choice. We have denied God as Creator, and denying Him as Creator, as we read in Romans 1, if we will not give God glory as the Creator, our foolish hearts will be darkened. And they are. That's where we are. We are in the dark. We vote for things that are harmful for ourselves. We vote for government that's harmful. Now we have to submit. We have to rightly realize that. As we think of the rebellion against the change of the law, Roe versus Wade, people are rebelling. They want to keep on murdering. They're thinking very wrong. God describes it as given over to a reprobate mind. The first chapter of Romans. That is a terrible thing to happen. And if that happens, all we have is a mind that thinks wrongly. A mind that will not only rebel against God, not only have strife with our neighbor, but oppose ourselves. We don't know our own good. That's where we are as a country. We are destroying what God has given us through our forefathers. We need to pray to come back to that. That's another part of what Paul taught when he wrote Timothy. Some years later, after this epistle to Rome, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. So that's one thing we can do. Pray for those that are in authority. Pray for kings that we might continue as we have so much in the past, led a quiet and peaceable life. It has waxed worse. Some cities have experienced terrible rioting. We are more and more in a way of danger for the present and the future, both in the home and the nation. The home is probably the biggest cause of the destruction of the nation, the big cause of what's going to happen to the next generation. And they're thinking wrongly, rebelling, and wanting to go a different way, sometimes thinking anything is better than what we have now without realizing it certainly can be worse. We need to see that this is of God, first of all. When there was a president, I agreed with, especially in some things, I agreed with him that he was very much against abortion. He publicly made it known, appointed very good judges. That was a very, very important thing, and that's why I could support him. Not always support him in all things he did or said, but in a very important issue. Now there are people just the opposite. Our present president is one that wants to have the abortion continue, to make it permissible. There's another group of people supporting him other than ourselves. But we must submit to him, even though we don't openly support or agree. So we need wisdom to know how to, first of all, have the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. We know that Paul wrote earlier, in our natural way, there's no fear of God before their eyes. Many people think politically, but not spiritually. We have to be careful. There's much talk about voting for a better government, and some will think that will be the whole answer. But government has never helped improve the homes. It has improved some things in the country, and some things for the country in relationship to other countries. But when it comes to ourselves and our families, it must come through the gospel. It must come through repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. We all fail in that, where we are to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love one another. And that most important place is in the home. And it's very much lacking with so many broken homes, so many troubled children, and so much of what's called mental health problems. We can't have a healthy society in such a way. But going back of Paul's description to those in government, wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. He beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Many times the government has not been that. But that's one reason why Paul said in his letter to Timothy, I exhort, therefore, that prayers, intercession, giving of thanks, be made for all men, for kings, and for all in authority. That is our first place, to pray. Pray to God that we will have a good government. God can do it. That's far more important than voting. Voting may be important, but prayer is much more important, and we don't hear enough of that, and we don't do enough of that. And with all the division in the church, it certainly won't be seen that we are in one accord in prayer and supplication. We are divided over so many things in the church, sadly. That's a terrible thing. I hear more and more, this church divided, that church divided, some two ways, some three ways. It's terrible. What can we expect in the nation if the church is not a salt and light? Leaves the nation in darkness without the gospel, without the light of the world, which is Christ. Once more we read here, if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. He is the minister of God. So we read that from the very beginning. It's all of God. God is not separate from the government of each and every country. He is allowing and sending what we have. So in verse 5 we read, wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. And then farther away in relationship to the government, verse 6, for this cause pay tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually on this very thing. We have to pay much tax, and we would probably pay much less tax if the church was doing what it should, if the church would take care of the poor, and the poor would go to the church instead of living in wickedness and becoming poor because of their wickedness. Then the government has to support. It does support. It does support the poor, but there's two kinds of poor. There are the helpless poor, and there are the wicked poor. Because the church has not done what it should in preaching the gospel and calling the nation to repentance, there will come more and more wicked poor. More and more that needs to be helped. Those don't go to the church. The government helps, and it's much more expensive. I can remember talking to a man that worked for the mental health department. He was working with a man that I was a guardian for, and he said, when I come here an hour, at that time, things were much less than they are today. Says it cost the government $100 an hour. There's so many different levels in government of reports and all of these things. By the time the reports are done, that's why government costs so much more. I've read already where government would help people and how much it actually cost beside what they got. Government cannot do it like the church can. When we have those in government, we have insurance, we might call them paid deacons. When the deacons in the church work for free and help the poor and take care of the poor, that's the way it should be. That's God's way. But because we have more government and less church, then we have to pay more tribute. They are still God's ministers, attending continually on this very thing. So we have to be subject to it. I'd like to read to you a little bit of what Robert Haldane, who was in Geneva in the 1800s. The government and the church were one then, and they did not want him to teach in Geneva, but he lived in a home, in a room. He had students come to him. He taught them from the book of Romans, and one by one those students were converted. It was called the Haldane Revival. Some of those students went back to their home in France, some in the Netherlands. Our forefathers here in Holland, Michigan, were part of Haldane's very good teaching and led to conversion of ministers after the church had been fallen away and brought back in that way. And here's what he says about our subject to government. Christians, having become the subject of a kingdom which is not of this world, might be led to suppose that they were released from the ties of obedience to human authority, especially such as were not Christians. Far different is the doctrine here taught by the apostle. He commands every soul, both Jew and Gentile, to be subject to the existing powers. He makes no exception as to the nature or constitution of any government, but he applies all his precepts to every form of government that government may assume, and there is nothing from which the political partisan in the present day may widely differ from the apostolic doctrine laid here in this chapter. So that is our responsibility. We are to be subject, not rebels, but submissive. Going on, render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Different offices probably require different degrees of honor and fear as well. But then he goes on to apply the law of God. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Then he quotes a number of the commandments. Some people say that the Ten Commandments are not for the church, but here they are for the church at Rome, for believers. That's who he's talking to here. So when we come to the law, we're all guilty. And as Paul has said in the third chapter, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified, but by the law is the knowledge of sin. And if we know that, then we will do what the last verse says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We must have Christ in us, and we must be in Him. That's salvation. Reading again from the Psalm, no darkness have we who in Jesus abide. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.